Hello, fight fans, and welcome to the late edition of Fightcasters, the podcast on fighting from the Las Vegas Sun. I am Brett Okamoto, the boxing and MMA writer, joined by fellow writer Ryan Green, and a special guest because it's so late and we're a little loopy. We need extra help from the videographer, Christine Killemeyer.
Holler.
Let's just go around the room real quickly. General thoughts on the fight. Obviously, Pacquiao, very impressive, TKOing Miguel Cotto in the 12th round. Green, some of the things that stood out to you.
Well, you know, in the first couple of rounds, Cotto looked a lot faster than we probably expected and quicker. And then, you know, you kind of saw that as we got to about round 5, 6, 7, the middle rounds, you could, you know, Pacquiao wasn't slowing down, and Cotto certainly looked slowed, and he'd suffered a lot of damage. And, I mean, it pretty much went to form. You know, we knew Cotto was tough, knew he had the tough chin, but you can only take so much damage. And I like the fact that Pacquiao, after, I didn't notice it until after we just watched the replay of the 11th round. After that 11th round, while Cotto's, you know, thinking the fight's over, you know, Pacquiao's just smiling and winking at the crowd and such a showman.
That is what I was going to say is probably what stood out to me the most about this fight is I almost feel like throughout the whole fight, and Pacquiao said this after the fight, you know, the reason he was up against the ropes, he was almost kind of saying that he let Cotto put him up there. I feel like he almost, not in a taunting, disrespectful manner, but almost kind of egged Cotto. Yeah, egged Cotto on, kind of. I don't know if it's he was trying to give fight fans what they wanted to see and make it more of an interesting fight before he just dominated him, but I don't understand why he wouldn't just come out of the gate and just do to Cotto what he did to Hatton. I mean, obviously, he did say that Cotto did do some damage. He actually did feel a lot of what was coming, but I don't, like you said, like toying with the crowd. I feel like he was hamming it up a little bit more this fight.
He was soaking up the atmosphere, man. Yeah. He needed to, and why not?
I think it showed a few things. I think, first of all, because like you said, Christine, Manny isn't the kind of person that would do this to downplay his opponent. That was not the intention. I think that Manny is just a fighter who is on top of his game, and he knows it. I mean,
he was winning this fight.
He walked into the arena with a big smile on his face, and there were just a few things. It was a funny answer when someone asked, you know, Manny, what were you doing when your back was against the ropes, and why was that happening? And I remember, Green, if you remember this, you were sitting next to me during the fight. I turned to you, and I was like, what is he doing? Why is he standing there? Because he didn't have to.
He didn't get forced against those ropes.
And so when that got brought up at the press conference, Manny's like, well, I wanted to sit there and feel his power. That was how he said it. And I think that just shows how confident this guy is. He wanted to see what his opponent had, and he took it, and he's like, okay, and now this is what I've got. And his trainer, Freddie Roach, even said that he was yelling from the corner.
Get off the ropes!
What are you doing? Get off the ropes! And Manny comes back, and he's like, it's cool, I got it. And Freddie's like, what else can I do? I was like, all right, well, show me. Show me that you can do this. And he did.
Feel his power. It's a good thing this is a late-night podcast, because that sounds like a
lot of fun. Do you think it's almost something where Pacquiao's just so good, do you think he's almost too good and he's trying to make things more challenging? It's almost like, since fighters can't challenge him, he's almost creating mini challenges for himself within a fight.
When you're on the top of your game, you're on the top of your game and you know it.
But good lord, is he on top of his game?
It's that unstoppable feeling. He knew that. He made it sound like he knew that he could take some punches from Miguel Cotto and kind of give people this illusion that, you know, he was.
I know, but why would you do that?
It wasn't going to affect him.
I think it's a case where you just feel so on that maybe it is a part of it that you want to challenge yourself, or maybe you just want to see how far you can take it. And at the risk of losing a few of our listeners here, I'm going to use a UFC reference to UFC 101, where Anderson Silva was fighting Forrest Griffin, and he put his hands down. Yeah. He put his hands down to his side, and he just started ducking. And it's like, why do you do that? Why would you take the risk? It's because I think that Manny had reached the same conclusion that Anderson Silva did in that fight.
This fight's too easy.
He can't beat me. Yeah. He came to the conclusion that I can take chances because this guy can't beat me. And so he kind of, I think maybe it is a way to push himself.
We all knew that Cotto's best chance to win this fight would be in the early rounds. As this thing progressed, you saw why he couldn't win late. And I think at that point, too, you got to also think that Manny probably thought the risk was pretty low. at that point. You know, yeah, he was feeling some powerful punches, but that was not the same Miguel Cotto who came out.
That bamboo stick pays off.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this. Did you guys feel that, you know, watching the pay-per-view afterwards, this was a little hard to pick up when from the floor. But seeing the pay-per-view afterwards, it looked like Miguel was ready to stop the fight after the 11th round. His father was ready to stop the fight after the 11th round. His corner decided that that wasn't the right decision to make and sent him out for the 12th. And then obviously in the 12th, you know, Bayless was ready.
Looking for an opportunity.
I mean, any kind of glancing shot, Bayless was going to get in there. So, Christine, I'll ask you this one. What did you think? Did you think that they should have stopped the fight earlier than that?
I would say, and when you say corner, yeah, it was everyone in the corner, but it was primarily Joe Santiago. And I think, and I'm sure there are plenty of other people out there that think this, I think Santiago is trying to prove a point that I can get my fighter, even though I'm green and I'm, you know, the new, like, head corner, you know, head trainer, whatever, I can get my fighter to stay in there for 12 rounds. And I think, I think he knew that Miguel wasn't necessarily in an extremely dangerous point, and I don't think he really would have put Cotto's, you know, health in danger, but I think it was almost borderline that they kept it going. I could have easily seen it stopped a round earlier.
It was a total pride play, and we even said that while we were sitting there in about the 9th and 10th round. We said, if you know, the only thing Miguel Cotto had to fight for at that point was pride. Because he wasn't winning that fight. He wasn't going to do anything to damage Pacquiao enough to take him down. And he was so far behind in the points in the scoring that it was impossible. It was a pride play at that point. And we all knew that Miguel Cotto came in with a lot of pride. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was kind of surprised to hear him say that he wanted to stop the fight after 11 rounds. But, you know, I think his corner probably just shared his sentiment coming
in. I think Cotto, though, really did. I mean, he's still, like a lot of people have said, he still is trying to downplay his loss to Margarito. I mean, he easily, it could have not gone 12 rounds with his last fight with Claudie. So I think he's just that Puerto Rican pride in self. I think he wants to go as far as he physically can. I don't know how much he would have fought if everyone in his corner said, let's end this at the 11th, but...
I got to say, I was disappointed with Miguel's corner tonight. I mean, you never ask your fighter to get to the point where you say, I'm done. I don't want to fight anymore. As a corner, you have to make that decision well before that happens, because any fighter is going to want to keep going, especially on that kind of stage. So I wasn't sure. Like I said, it's hard to see what's going on in the corner when you're on the floor. Sometimes it's easier to see when you go back and revisit it and see the cameras up in the corners. Miguel was obviously very battered. A lot of people say his face looked worse than it did on the Margarito fight, which I'll probably agree with.
How he can see is beyond me. Yeah,
the fact that he was asking for the fight to stop at that point. I mean, like I said, the corner is responsible to stop the fight before the fighter even wants to stop it. A lot of times you'll see situations where a fighter is mad at their corner because the corner stopped it. It shouldn't be where, you know, the fighter is saying, I'm done, you know, and it was clear because he was running and people were booing, but you couldn't fault the guy for running because it had been established that he couldn't
have my face be bashed in any longer.
Exactly. I mean, it's self-defense at that point. So I was a little disappointed with the corner. I thought it could have got stopped
early.
Cotto's
father did want to stop it. Mm-hmm. He was the only one that did, but it was pretty much everyone else that was like, nah, you can keep going.
I think you're right. I think it was a Joe Santiago thing. Mm-hmm. Pride, you know, big stage. He's a young trainer. And
that's a big chip to have in your corner if you can say that you trained a fighter to go 12 rounds for a decision with Manny Pacquiao. That sounds pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that. I mean, Manny Pacquiao makes Miguel Cotto look like an amateur out there. Floyd Mayweather did the same thing to Marquez. I mean, I thought that the president of HBO Sports made an interesting comment when he said that they were almost like semifinals and leading up to a final.
Yeah.
It feels like that, you know, and it feels like it's these two guys. Obviously, this is the fight that everybody wants to see. It sounds to me like it's going to get made. Interesting, though, Floyd Sr. was at the fight afterwards. He said that he believes that his son will beat Manny Pacquiao.
Shocking.
But Floyd Sr. says, if he comes to me and asks me, should I fight Manny? Sr. said, no, I would tell him not to fight him. So this seems like contradicting statements, like, yes, you'll beat him, but no, don't fight him. And he wouldn't provide any reasoning behind that.
If not that I could even begin to try to delve into the psyche of one Mayweather.
Please don't even try.
But The only thing I could say that I think might make sense is that Floyd in his mind thinks that his son could beat Manny. And then he already knows what everyone would say, be like, oh, it'll either turn into something, well, oh, he's bigger, oh, he didn't, because he probably knows that his son won't bother trying to make the weight, whatever the established weight is. You know, it could be, you know, there's just going to be a litany of excuses as to why, if Mayweather were to beat Pacquiao, there'd be a litany of excuses as to why it happened, and there would still be people that would maybe not necessarily give him the credit that his father thinks he should get if it were to happen. A lot of hypotheticals.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point, but what else, what other reason would there be?
That's the only, I told you, I can't, that's the farthest I can delve into the Mayweather mentality.
In this whole discussion of Pacquiao Mayweather, has Mayweather almost kind of turned into the bad guy a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
It's,
of course.
It's because Aram hates him, paints him in the,
even more so now, he just, like, Manny keeps putting on these shows, and he has the winning smile, and he's got the attitude and all this stuff.
And he's so cute.
Every time he continues to succeed, it makes Mayweather look more and more and more and more like the bad guy. And is it to the point where, I mean, do people want to see this fight now just because they want to see Mayweather get his ass beat, or do they want to, I mean...
That that's a theory with a lot of Mayweather fights. Everybody's buying Mayweather not to see him win, but to see him lose. They want to see the guy lose. They want to see this guy who says he can't be beaten to lose. Right. That's just a basic human thing that we want to see. And Mayweather does it to himself. He absolutely does it to himself, and his father helps out. And
you know, we were talking about trying to read into what his father was saying, and I think there's part of it too where his father. Come on. The guy just talks and he loves to hear himself talk. And you have those people that love to hear themselves talk to the point where they keep talking. Eventually they're just going to contradict themselves because they just need to keep thinking of things
to say. But everyone will pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how much we read into what he said just because I think he was just talking to hear himself talk. And he happened to just trip himself up on his words. But
yeah, he does talk a lot. And that can happen when you're talking a lot. I'm sure if we made this podcast 40 minutes long, we'd contradict ourselves by the end of it as well.
I've done it before.
But let's say this fight gets made. I'm thinking that it will. I think those people at HBO right now will just pour money into this thing until it works.
I feel like the only like wild card in the whole thing is Floyd Jr. And I feel like it would be something where someone at some point somewhere would pull him aside, sit him down, and be like, you are doing this. We're going to do whatever it takes to make this happen. But, yes, I agree with you. That it will hopefully happen.
I think it will happen. I don't know.
It's longer, though, than I think
people Floyd has expect. To do it. He has no choice.
I think the only way this fight doesn't happen is if Floyd sits down, and maybe I'm crazy even thinking that this could ever happen, but Floyd sits down and is like, you know what? I'm an undefeated boxer, and this guy could possibly beat me. And then he could totally turn the money thing into a thing where he's just like, you guys won't give me what I'm asking for, so I'm not fighting. And he could use that as an excuse. It would almost work because the guy has been so much about money in his career. Mm-hmm. We could almost buy it that like, well, you know what? He's just not going to fight unless he gets 60-65%
of what's
coming in. And so it would almost like work out where you're like, wow, Mayweather won't fight because of the money. But I think secretly, if that happens, I think secretly Mayweather sat down and was like, I'm not going to lose a fight in my professional
career. You know what? That's the thing. This is a guy who's like, the only thing he seems to care about more than his money is his legacy. And I mean, he's got to be thinking, if he fights this fight and loses, there's no way he's getting it back without fighting Pacquiao again and beating him, and then you risk. I mean, it's just a domino effect after that. So, I mean, how much does his legacy really mean to him? Yeah.
I think the money will be a huge factor. I think the weight will be a big problem because look at how adamant Freddie Roach was that if Cotto was an ounce over 145, that they were not going to fight the fight.
Yeah.
And sat there, you know, watched the scales that would, you know, cause all the tension on stage. Mm-hmm. Mayweather fighting Marquez is just like, well, whatever, Marquez, I'm fighting at 147. Here's my money. Like, take it. I'm fighting. Like, see, and he gave up money because he was like, I don't care enough. I like being 147. I'm fighting at 147.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one of the best pictures ever taken of a weigh-in ever is everybody staring at the scale while Mayweather is sitting there with his arms up flexing and he's 2 pounds over the weight he's supposed to be. And everyone's like, what the hell are you doing, Floyd? They're looking at the scale and he knows
it. He's intentional.
Oh, he completely knew exactly that he was 2 pounds over. He doesn't care. He's just $1 million smile with his arms up. greatest pitcher of a weigh-in ever. And you know what? It's interesting because when you're talking about a fight contract, the biggest thing, first of all, is money. And the second thing of all is, what weight are we going to fight at? And would it be a 145-pound weight limit? Would it be a catch weight? Because at this point, the belts don't matter with these two guys. It is a fight between two guys. Who cares about the belts? You could put every freaking belt on there. Like, we'll fight for all four of them and then, like, three different weight classes. Yeah. Who cares? It's about who is better. This is the pound-for-pound fight. So, yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up. Like,
I think the way – I don't think they'll ever – and that's why I think this fight – I definitely could see it happening, but I think it'll take a lot longer than people expect, and there will be a lot of fighting and a lot of bartering and bickering.
It can't take too long because Manny Pacquiao. No, I don't think people will stop caring as long as it's like within the next 365 days.
Yeah.
But Manny Pacquiao wants to run for Congress in the Philippines at the end of March. So we're looking at a February fight. That's what everybody believes. It'll probably be on the same date as UFC. Oh my God, what a coincidence. Who saw that coming? But it'll probably be on the same date as a UFC card. And I think it'll be in February if it happens. And I just think that HBO is going to see the situation. They're going to put together the fight. For the fun of it, let's pretend that the fight is made. And let's end this by saying who thinks who would win that one.
I can't even. What weight would it be at?
Let's say it's at 145 and Mayweather actually comes in at 145.
Whew. How do you go against Manny Pacquiao at this point? How? After everything you've seen. Every fight, I have that little voice in the back, like, I always know, but every fight, I'm like, oh, maybe Ricky Hatton will give him something. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe Miguel Cotto. No! Like, it doesn't happen.
I think Manny Pacquiao would win that by decision. And,
I think it would go the full 12.
And I like to think it would be a decision because I think that would open up the floodgates for a rematch.
Going down the line.
Whoa, Green. Whoa, we're just trying to get one together. You're already talking about the two.
Oh, and you know what?
This guy needs to work at HBO.
Yeah, seriously. Get that 24/7 game.
He's already promoting it. The next one, the rematch.
48-14.
It would be the best fight of our generation.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, our era.
If not the greatest fight ever.
You know, do you guys think that if it does go to a decision, that he's even able to knock Mayweather down?
No.
No. I say no.
I think Mayweather's defense is too. Yeah, I think Mayweather's defense is too good.
Okay.
I don't think it would be. I honestly don't know if it would be as exciting of a fight as people would expect it to be, just because of the way Mayweather fights.
Well, people are dying for Mayweather to fight an exciting fight.
I know, but I think that's just his style. His style.
Oh,
he knows
style.
That. His style is not an
only
exciting,
be exciting
style.
Gets Floyd Mayweather paid. Is
exactly.
What Floyd Mayweather's style is going to be. All right.
Well, you know, you know what I would hope for in a fight like this, and I think everybody would agree with me, is that Mayweather would come out in his typical Mayweather style, and he'd be rolling his shoulders, he'd be putting his back to the rope and then circling out, and Manny would catch him, and he'd put him down in like the third or fourth round, maybe even second. He'd put him down because he's got that kind of power. We've seen it. He put Miguel Cotto down in the third, fourth round.
But
and we've seen
a
Cotto's
chin.
Oh, they both have strong chins, but I'm saying this is an ideal world. This isn't my prediction, but I'm hoping that he gets Mayweather in trouble and puts Mayweather in a position that he hasn't been really ever in his career where he needs the points. He needs to come out. He needs to maybe get a 10-8 round. You know, as the fight goes on, maybe he needs to finish him. Because that would show what offense Mayweather has. Because Mayweather's a point guy, you know? He's a total point guy. So if you're putting him in a position where
he's down in the points,
he not only needs to not lose a round, he really truly needs to win it, we'd see a different Mayweather.
He's Lyoto Machida, basically.
I mean, let's not get carried away. Yeah. He's not Lyoto Machida. But I respect both of you guys' opinions. I think Mayweather would still win. I think Mayweather is the pound for pound.
What's sad is in the past 2 minutes since I've already said Pacquiao, there's that little voice back in my head again going, maybe Mayweather could win.
And it's
true,
isn't it? Because with Oscar, you're like, man, Manny's good. But Oscar is this big guy.
Yeah.
Manny's got to come up. He won't be strong enough. And then with Ricky, you're like, well, Ricky will bully him and get inside him. And he won't be able to move around.
And he only lost the one and it was la la.
Yep.
No, the next
so I would ignore the voice with Mayweather because I think Mayweather is just, I mean, he's obviously got the best talk game.
What's
in
sad
the business,
is I almost
but
think
I think
I would
he can back
like,
it up.
I would like to see Mayweather win it. Isn't that sad? I don't know if it's sad, but I think I would like to see Mayweather win it. I know, I know. I'm gonna
really
have,
cheering for the underdog guy. I guess
I feel like the Filipinos are gonna come after me now, but I just think it would be that much more because I think Pacquiao, like you said, I think Pacquiao would want a rematch. I don't know if Mayweather, if he lost, I don't think he'd want a rematch.
Oh, he would. He would want a revenge. His
especially
only
especially if he lost by decision.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just to see that perfect record stay perfect.
See, this is why this fight has to happen.
I know!
And there's so many ifs about whether or not it will happen, what will happen if it does happen. I mean, this is just, this is it. I mean, in boxing, there are only two people that exist right now.
Yep.
So we'll see if it happens.
They're going to fight because no one cares to see them fight against anybody else.
It's true.
Let's be honest. Nobody would pay for a pay-per-view fight right now to watch them fight anybody but each other. And that's what.
No, but they will.
People will, but I mean, let's be real. Yeah. It's just not worth the PR disaster to run away from the other one.
And according to HBO president Ross Greenberg, am I getting that last name right? Greenberg. Ross Greenberg says that Richard Schaefer, CEO of Golden Boy, is calling him on Monday. So hopefully we'll have a press conference to go to.
They can make all the phone calls they want. It's getting them to agree.
I'll just keep Bob Arum and Floyd Mayweather in the same room, please.
Right.
If we actually want this to happen.
I almost
want
to see that fight. That's the fight I want to see.
Bob would play dirty, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
All right, well, now it's starting to get loony. Like we said, it's late at night. Hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Hope the fight happens. Stay tuned to Las Vegas Sun. We'll keep you posted when it does. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Toodaloo.